friends, Romans, countrymen. It's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
It is Stage Direction with Alice Canton, and I am very, very honoured to be hosting you, Alice. Hi, kia ora, how are you?
I'm very well, and I'm honoured to be hosted by you.
Oh, sheesh.
You, because I feel like that we've bounced around in the ether as a show, as a concept, and it's lovely to have found our home here.
Yeah,
it
well,
feels right.
If you want, if this is a good place to get dramatic, is on Monday Drive with old Dramatic Crawley.
Gosh, that as I've come to know you.
I love to take things to very serious new heights.
Absolutely. And the depth, the breadth,
yeah,
it all. But it's not just you and I, of course.
No.
We are joined by the gorgeous, the effervescent, the one of a kind, John Coddington. Welcome to the show. We're here talking about Taniwha, which is Silo Theatre's show, opening next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family-friendly show, which Silo Theatre's not always family-friendly, although I think there are probably concepts that you should seed with your family as a talking point, but that's for another day. Taniwha, which brings together Sophie Roberts directing, we've got Leon Vodukovic, MD.
Well done.
Dan Williams, design, John Connington, puppet extraordinaire. Do you call yourself a puppeteer, a puppet maker, a puppeteer?
Puppetist? Gosh,
puppet curator?
Yes. Yeah. What is the title?
Puppet master gets thrown
around.
I don't know. I find I'm like...
To be a master, does that require you to both be able to make... Because that is what is extraordinary about you, John, is you can both fashion the puppets and puppet the puppets, right?
Yes, yes.
Which is fabulous. It's not just like you make them and then you give them over to somebody else. So, and maybe there's a beautiful sort of synergy between making and being.
Yes, totally.
So what does come first for you?
The I think the maker comes first.
Okay.
You know, I was sculpting since I was a kid, and it's just like it's the beautiful marriage of sculpture and performance that I love about puppetry.
Yes.
I think. The performance came much later because I mean I'm still very shy, but having that puppet in front of me pulls focus.
Gosh,
so,
I love that.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. Do you sort of find yourself sort of losing your sense of self? I don't want to say self consciousness because
no,
I don't want to say you're self conscious, but you know.
True. Yeah, yeah. I tend to like, I lose myself and I become, oh my God. I'm
getting go there, be that.
It's kind of a spiritual experience. I mean,
of course.
I very much lose myself and become the puppet. The Muppeteers would say that it's acting from the elbow up. And like, it's really that transfer of energy and getting in the weeds.
Oh, it's so beautiful hearing you say that. I mean, in a past life, I've also done some puppeting in my time. And like mask and, you know, clown, the nose is the smallest mask of all. And I think, particularly in Balinese mask, there is actually a really strong sense of like tapping into this divine, spiritual of channel, so to speak. So it's lovely to hear you talking about that. Will you be tapping into some divine spiritual potential with Taniwha? What is Taniwha is probably a good place
That's
to start.
Great,
What is Taniwha?
Well, the show itself, it's sort of, okay, we're essentially making a live animated film.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've got a little station, we've got two tables with two cameras and puppet stations, and so we're doing all the visuals. The full four-piece band is doing live music. We have a narrator, and then the whole thing's live projected. So you can sit there, watch a film. You can sit there watching a puppet show. You can watch a band.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
You can hang out in the foyer. Yeah.
And this is interesting because Peter and the Wolf was a work that Silo Theatre did in 2017, 18, or around that time, which again used the sort of like live filming of the puppet stuff.
Yeah.
So you guys are sort of building your collaboration language by doing Taniwha.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the kind of, I don't want to be like, what's the story, but what's the kind of content for us?
Yeah,
like, don't give it away.
Well, essentially, in our story, three kids, they like to go out and adventuring in their little backyard, but they start noticing that construction companies are coming in, and then they hear about the they're actually, you know, coming into this Tani Whā's land. So they sort of take it upon themselves to get rid of this construction company. And it's a little bit Scooby-Doo. Ooh. It's a little bit like, you know.
Save the youth centre.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We couldn't have, and it would have got away with it if it wasn't. Yeah, okay, gorgeous. And this, I love that, because I love this kind of like a political underbelly to this story. But also it's like a family friendly, presumably family friendly. Yeah, ages five and up, is so I understand. Up, yeah. Is there a difference for you between making theatre that for audiences, younger audiences, older audiences? Is there a difference? And presumably, the puppet shows that you've made in the past are not necessarily like family shows. I mean,
because we talk
about puppets, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean they're like it's family puppets, right?
Well, I mean, I think that's the beauty of puppetry. Like, it's such a gorgeous art form, but it's also super silly. Like, it just has the fingers in both pies there. I mean, ideally, I want to make the work that doesn't separate those two audiences. But I think everyone's sort of feeling that.
That it transcends age. Yeah, it just is. I mean, because obviously also puppetry can be non-verbal, but you said there was a narrator. So what's is the idea that the narrator is like a guest narrator?
Yes, yeah. We have, I should know this, it's four or five that will be circulating throughout the season.
Yeah, great.
And so with Pete and the Wolf, we had one guest narrator each show, which is fun, but like they couldn't really gel into the performance, so it's going to be a different experience in that way,
right? Because that means they're kind of like more rehearsed in, they sort of fight the they there's a synergy between the narrator and the all the moving parts. I love that. So you're in the Herald Theatre,
yes, indeed,
which is we were just saying before out there, like, you know, the it's Herald back. Has got that rake, you know, it's crazy. You're sort of sitting on top, like looking down, like nosebleed kind of angle onto
forward.
You can, as you were saying before, look at all the different parts.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful space for it, because just because it is so synesthetic and...
I love that word.
I know, right?
Synesthetic. Yeah. Wait, what is that, synesthetic?
That's when it's like...
Isn't that what Lord's got?
Yeah, is it? Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was sort of like
just multi-sensory, like things just melding.
Synesthetic. Yeah, so it's not just predominant visual or sound or whatever. Yeah.
I think, I mean, you know, being up in the nosebleeds too, the sound will just be everywhere. And it gives you the opportunity to look down upon all our works. You can certainly see everything for its own parts, but the whole thing as a whole, so it'd be a good space for it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just want to chime in as a fan, really, because some of these people will be listening at home being like, puppets for kids, not for me, mate. but think again, because, you know, I was born and raised on The Muppet Show.
Yes.
There wasn't a day probably go by that I didn't watch an episode of The Muppets off my recorded VHS tapes in the lounge. And, you know, I saw The Muppet movie when with Jason Segel, and that was the one and only time I've ever cried in a movie.
Oh, whoa.
So
one and only.
I'm really setting this up. And I run a monthly comedy night with Barney Duncan, and John Coddington here was one of my favourite guests, and I wouldn't call him a stand-up. You know, he brings out these little puppets, and honestly, you've never seen such joy and kind of surprise on people's faces. And this is in a little bar in Point Chef, and you just never know what you're going to get. But John, you know, I've seen you inhabit these puppets, and I've just realised when you two were talking that very rarely do I look at the puppet thinking that it's anything to do with you. Like, you're such a master.
Yeah.
Your puppets come to life. And I just want to say that if anybody is kind of even remotely curious, I'm 100% curious now. I'm coming to this show because there ain't no puppet show like a John Coddington puppet show.
That TM, let it be known. I remember the first time I saw your work was seeing Puppet Fiction in a dinky little bar. I think it was Pit Bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, I was sort of like, I think I was kind of, there wasn't enough room. It was standing room only, which was largely the case in Pit Bar because it was tiny. And we were all kind of crowded around. And then also passerbys were like, well, what are those people looking at? And then they want to come in and they want to see. Crowding around around this tiny, well, what was it? It was Tarantino in puppet form.
Yep, yep. In that bar, we could only have, I think it was a capacity of 20 people or so. We managed to jam in 30 one night.
Oh, look.
And somebody passed out. And I thought, we've made it.
First and only time.
You could come to the show, you could pass out, you could see some puppetry. Yeah, it's all on. So you're opening next week, as I understand.
Yes, yep, next Wednesday.
And it is, you're doing like shows during the nighttime, which is cool, and during the daytime, yes. I understand. There's like matinees and stuff. I'm going to try and go to a matinee, and I'm going to try bring my under five, but that's fine. There's a crying room.
She's very mature.
She's actually quite mature for her age.
Oh, absolutely,
yes. There is a cry room at the Herald, which love. Yep. I just also love the concept of any space having a space where you can just cry, like regardless of the context, really. Like,
it's really handy.
That's the cry. That's the water cupboard.
BFM toilet's really good for that.
Oh yeah, great.
Tell you from experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah, cool, cool.
If you watch the Muppet movie, you just want to jump into the.
Yeah, and we're really trying to tailor it to the parents and children. Like, so we got after the show, there's going to be all these activations and activities up in the foyer. We've got a little breastfeeding station.
Oh my gosh,
it's not a secret. But we're going to be looking after everyone.
Breastfeeding station. That is speaking my language. Yeah. Whether you're old or young, come along.
Totally, yeah.
John, this is so exciting. So we're talking about Tiny Fire. The other thing I was going to mention was... it's completely escaped my brain. I did say I was going off the leash.
Do you know what dates this Tiny Fire is happening?
Yeah, we
open
on the...
And anyone can find out more and buy tickets?
Yes, we... the 26th of June. And I'll speak slowly to get the information.
I feel like you could go to silotheatre.co.nz.
Yeah.
Auckland Live, because it's at the Herald, it's part of the Auckland Live precinct, so you could go in there. That's where you can sort of be directed. I think that therefore means you go to Ticketmaster to get your tickets. So I imagine it's probably a limited run. I'd say probably it's only running for about 2 weeks.
A couple of weeks. But we're doing like two shows a day. There's a lot of opportunities.
Damn, there's going to be a lot of... Oh, man, back in the day when I used to do Kids Theatre, they'd be like, we'll give you Subway between the shows. You do a two-show day, and then sometimes they'd be like, we're doing three shows today, guys, and you get free Subway. And you'd be like, honestly, for that, I'm anyone's. So when you say two shows a day, I'm like, well, that's a Subway. There's got to be a Subway in there. I can't ever imagine someone like Sophie Roberts eating a Subway. But anyway, great. So you've got to go to the show. John, I'm so looking forward to experiencing the show. It really sounds quite magical.
Yes, it does. I mean, in some ways, it's like we are given the opportunity to really show off with this one. Like, there are some cool little things we're doing with this if you like Peter and the Wolf, it's 10 times. You know, we learned so much on that one.
It'll give us a few couple of little clues about some puppets people might be able to see, or is this top secret?
Little tops. Oh, no. I mean, I'm having fun with our New Zealand fauna. There's a little baby Rudu who's sort of one of the main characters.
Fabulous.
Little baby Pukeko in there as well.
Oh, I love
some,
that.
Little frogs and... Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's a great way to learn about our nature and everything, just to make it.
Love it.
Yeah, lovely. And look, you go for the music. I think that alone.
Absolutely.
Radojkovic has always got a bloody good lineup of musicians, that one.
Yep.
So there's probably something for everyone.
Yeah.
Opening next week. I look forward.
You've sold me. I'm a new. Let's say, I think with stage direction, let's call me the neutral party.
Oh,
I'll be your audience.
Okay.
And in this instance, you've sold me.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
I'm 100% fascinated.
Yeah, folks.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah. This is great, actually. You can be the meter, the measuring stick.
Yeah. I'll push the button. Bow, bow, or this is a double thumbs up.
I love that, because in the moment, it would be great for the guest to recognize whether this show's going to hit or not.
Let's be real. If I'm not interested, I'm going to ask polite questions and just sort of nod and let you do all the work, Alice. But in this instance, I am fully on board, and I hope that other people can take our word for it. We're not shitting you. Well, thank you so much for coming up, and we'll see you again next week, Alice. And
yes.
John, I hope I'll see you very soon. We'll see you very soon on stage.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.